WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday fun day, January 23rd, 2017. We've got a sizzling hot show in store for all of our Current Sports listeners out there as we will do our best to recap the weekend that was in the world of local sports and beyond. Of course, you know, we will be talking about, that's right, the Super Bowl. We know which two teams will be playing out in Houston, and you do not want to miss this chat as we talk about the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots just making it look easy on Championship Sunday. Yeah, I actually got a bit bored watching those two games over the weekend, all right? We will also talk about the Michigan State men's basketball team whose struggles continue as they fell on the road to Indiana, a hostile environment for sure. Michigan State didn't come to play. Tom Izzo, head coach of the team, is talking as we speak. You'll get to hear what he had to say concerning his team's struggles over the weekend during his weekly press conference at the Breslin Center. You don't want to miss that. And we will invite live in our Current Sports studios here at Studio S, Alex Sims, WLNS TV 6 anchor and reporter. She will have a recap of what took place with the women's basketball team from Michigan State last night, as they have now lost three straight as well. How about that? Just struggles everywhere when it comes to Spartan hoops. So Alex will recap that, and she's also from Boston, so she'll have, I'm certain she'll have a firsthand take on her New England Patriots going to the Super Bowl yet again. So Alex will join us live in studio. Can't wait till she gets here. That should be a fun chat. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about my least favorite topic in the sports world, recruiting. Yes, recruiting day. A week away from this Wednesday. Oh, you can hear the excitement in my voice, can't you? So excited. So we'll briefly talk about recruiting, and we will have weekend winners as we customarily do each and every Monday's Current Sports. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with some recruiting news. Da'Ari Todd, the three-star defensive end from Lorain, Ohio, changed his verbal pledge from Boston College and announced via Twitter yesterday that he will instead become a Spartan. How about that? This is what Todd had to say. Quote, "After long discussions with family and friends, I have decided to decommit from Boston College. I would like to thank Boston College and their coaches for giving me the chance to come to their prestigious college. But with that being said, I have decided to further my academic and football career at Michigan State University." Now, then later yesterday, Atlanta Westlake corner Trey Person decommitted from Georgia Southern and announced via Twitter he was committing to Michigan State for the class of 2017. The total is now up to 20 for Michigan State. Now, as far as Michigan recruiting news is concerned, yeah, Fort Lauderdale American Heritage offensive lineman Kyleon Herbert decommitted from becoming a Wolverine. Now, he is a four-star prospect. And Michigan now, with that decommitment, has 26 commits in the class. We'll have more on Michigan State and Michigan football recruiting news later on this hour. Moving along now, the Michigan State women's basketball team fell to Purdue last night, 76-66, the final on Alumni Day at the Breslin Center. The team has now lost three straight games. For the first time since the 2014-15 year, MSU senior guard Tori Jankowska led the way for the Spartans with 16 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. Michigan State now sits at 13-7 overall and 3-4 in Big Ten action. Purdue improved to 13-8 overall, 4-3 in Big Ten play. The Spartans were, yet again, without head coach Susie Merchant, who took a medical leave of absence at the beginning of last week. Associate head coach Amaka Ogugwa is serving as the interim head coach. The Michigan State wrestling team won the first two bouts on the way to tying a season high, winning seven bouts on the afternoon to defeat Clarion 23-9 yesterday afternoon on the road. Now, with the dub, the Spartans are 3-0 in the state of Pennsylvania this season after opening up with a pair of wins at Bloomsburg and Lock Haven on November 5th. Michigan State is now 4-7 on the year after Sunday's non-conference victory. MSU resumes Big Ten action this Friday on the road at Illinois. The Michigan State hockey team played the Michigan Wolverines tough this past weekend. On Friday night, out in A-squared, the Spartans top U of M 3-0. On Saturday night at Munice Arena, the Spartans tied the Wolverines in regulation in OT. Michigan will pick up the extra point in the shootout to earn the extra point in the conference standings. Now, on Saturday night, the Spartans finish with a 27-25 edge in shots in goal and went 2-for-5 on the power play while holding Michigan to 0-for-3, I should say, on the man advantage. The Spartans are off this weekend and return to action at Munn on February 3rd and 4th versus Wisconsin. The Detroit Red Wings offense fell flat on Sunday afternoon as they got shut out on home ice by the New York Rangers in a 1-0 OT loss. It marks Detroit's second straight overtime loss after having won three straight on home ice. Red Wings goalie Jarrett Kuro dueled Henrik Lundqvist for 60 minutes of scoreless hockey before giving up the game-winning goal less than 2 minutes into overtime. On top of the loss, Ken Holland confirmed this morning that both Dylan Larkin and Thomas Vanek sustained injuries in the game. Both are considered day-to-day, but neither will be making the trip to Boston when the Wings face the Bruins on Tuesday night. That is not good news for the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit Lions fans can finally rejoice. It looks as if the D will have a Pro Bowl player on the roster after all. No. It's not Matthew Stafford. Heck no, it's not Darius Slay. But get this, kicker. That's right, Matt Prater is expected to make the Pro Bowl, replacing Atlanta's kicker Matt Bryan, with Bryan and the Falcons off to bigger and better things heading to the Super Bowl. Prater will likely head to his second Pro Bowl game. Now, the appearance is well-deserved for Prater, who made all 9 of his 50-plus yard field goal attempts this season, as well as 6, yes, count them, 6, game-winning or game-tying field goals. You can tune in and watch the Lions' lone Pro Bowler this Sunday. Both the Detroit Pistons and Sacramento Kings are coming off hard-fought games. On Saturday, Marcus Morris saved the Pistons from blowing a 16-point fourth-quarter lead against the Washington Wizards with a game-winning putback just before the buzzer, and I went insane in the membrane when that ball went in the hoop. Probably woke up my neighbors that night. Who cares, though, right? The Pistons extended their winning streak to 3 games. Meanwhile, the Kings were in a dogfight against the Chicago Bulls on Saturday night, but Chicago pulled off the win thanks to a questionable foul against Kings star DeMarcus Cousins. In their last 9 games, the Kings have only won 1. Yeah, that win was against the Pistons in Sacramento. Pistons forward John Luer returned against the Wizards, but shooting guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope sat for a third straight game with a strained rotator cuff. He's questionable to return tonight at the Palace. And last but not least, get this. Detroit native boxer James Gordon Smith improved to 12-0 this weekend with a first-round TKO in the bantamweight division. Gordon defeated Hungarian Sylvester Atige, who was 10-3-1, heading into the co-main event of Sunday's Detroit Brawl card at Masonic Temple. The 26-year-old from Detroit is quickly rising through the ranks of the bantamweight division and is hoping to secure a spot on Showtime's Showbox card in March. That will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number to call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-WKAR. 9527. You can also weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to, so little time. So let's stop wasting it, shall we? Let's start the show.
Sisters, I love you too. My beautiful wife's here, so, and my kids. So, what was your question?
I can just see how emotional you are right now, and you told us you gave it your all last year and fell short. To be able to have the opportunity to get back to the Super Bowl, what does that mean?
It's incredible. This team showed a lot of mental toughness over the course of the year, and it was a great win tonight. Our fans are going crazy, so I'm just happy for our team. We put a lot into it, and I know we're going to play a great team in a couple weeks, but it'd be great to finish it off.
We start this Monday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin, and are we really surprised? Are we really surprised? The Atlanta Falcons and New England Patriots. I predicted it. I saw it coming. But what I didn't see coming was just how boring these two games would become. Yeah. If you needed a sleeping pill over the weekend and you couldn't sleep, just turn on the NFC and AFC championship games, Isaac. Not fun to watch really at all, unless you are like a diehard fan of either one of those teams. Yeah, I know. Thank you. Great cue, Isaac. But the Patriots, and the Falcons will duel it out in Houston in 2 weeks in the Super Bowl. I'm looking forward to that game, though. Two very good teams. You heard the montage mixed in with a little bit of Childish Gambino. Isaac, you like Childish's new album? I can't stop listening to it, dude.
I do. It's funky. It's different. It's all over the place, but I respect him for it. I respect him changing the game.
It's not a hip-hop album. More like a funk album. Love it. So I thought that'd be it'd be fitting to roll in some Childish while intermixing what took place in both of those games over the weekend. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number. Again, weigh in via social media. We're streaming the show as we always do each and every weekday via Facebook.com/CurrentSports. We even have IG Live going, yeah, Instagram Live as well. For those that want to follow me on Instagram and catch the live feed that way, just follow me on Instagram at Al3SPN. You can watch the show there as well. Leave us a comment. I'll read it live here on our airwaves. Tweet us at WKAR_sports or at AlMartinWKAR. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Patriots and Falcons going to the Super Bowl. And later on this hour, she's actually in studio with us right now, but I'm going to get to her later on in the show. She is a diehard New England Patriots fan. She's from Boston. She is, of course, anchor and reporter at WLNS TV6, Alex Sims, who anchored all throughout the weekend. And we'll get her thoughts on her Patriots going to yet another Super Bowl. The Falcons, though, are appearing in their first Super Bowl since 1999. I remember that. I was 9 years old watching the Dirty Birds do their thing. And I can't believe it's been that long, though. When that snippet of information crossed the screen during that beatdown yesterday, I said, wow, it's really been that long. 9 years old was the last time I saw the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. And I do remember that Super Bowl, watching that game with my dad. This will be the Patriots' NFL best 9th Super Bowl appearance. And Alex is looking at me right now, shaking her head like, yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, it's what they do, okay? Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, I mean, it's been quite a ride for those two. I mean, yin and yang, right? They just operate so well together. And Bill Belichick, he kills me, man, because he is one of the greatest football minds ever at the head coaching ranks in NFL history. And, you know, you hear Bill do his post-game pressers, and he's not very enthusiastic at all. He's so dry and cut and paste and to the point. So I was curious, you know, looking at that end-of-game trophy ceremony, just how enthusiastic he was going to be. And I'm like, oh, gosh, are they really going to talk to Bill? And, yeah, you got to. He's the head coach, right? But Bill was actually – he showed you more emotion than you usually get during a weekly press conference, right? I mean, Bill came up and he talked about how hard his team works. And, you know, he cracked a smile or two, which you really don't see from the man. So I thought that was pretty cool. You heard Tracy Wolfson on the broadcast, who I think is one of the most underrated silent reporters in sports, by the way. Just had to throw that out there. But Tracy talked with Tom immediately after that game, and Tom forgot Tracy's first question because he was so caught up in thanking his family and his friends and so on and so forth. Just caught up in the moment of going to yet another Super Bowl. Again, the Patriots' NFL best 9th Super Bowl appearance. It will be the team's 7th appearance under head coach Bill Belichick. A dynasty? I think so. Looking at the early Vegas line for this upcoming Super Bowl matchup, the Patriots open as a 3-point favorite over the Falcons. So right now, Vegas is thinking this game is going to be close. I am just praying that it's going to be a close game. And when you look at this matchup, of course, the Falcons, led by second-year coach Dan Quinn. The Falcons' offense with 9th-year quarterback Matt Ryan, who has had a remarkable year. If I had a vote for MVP, I think it was just solidified for Matt Ryan when evaluating what he was able to do against the Green Bay Packers yesterday. And you guys know, all the current sports listeners out there that have been listening to this show weekdays, week in and week out, you guys know I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. And Aaron Rodgers broke my heart the week prior to this past weekend I'm not going to bring up how he broke my heart. You guys saw it. You guys saw it. So as I watched the Falcons make slight work of the Green Bay Packers, I said in my head, my goodness, if the Falcons can do that against the Packers and my Cowboys, I mean, we're going tit for tat against them and had to come back in the fourth quarter to make it a game, the Cowboys got some ways to go to be a legit Super Bowl contender. I think the future is bright with the rookies and Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott. But man, oh man, the Falcons are on another level right now, right? When it comes to New England, I mean, need I say any more? The Patriots, who started the season without Tom Brady, who served a 4-game suspension to start the year, and I really do believe that Tom Brady, he's got a chip on his shoulder. I mean, you look at how Deflategate went down last year and how they issued a 4-game suspension. This is his redemption tour this season. This is when he served the suspension to start the year. The Patriots are able to tread water just enough, just in time for Tom Brady to come back and just deliver yet another great season at the helm as the quarterback of the New England Patriots. He's had a great season, folks. Again, started the year without Tom Brady, serving that 4-game suspension. Was third in the league with 51 offensive touchdowns. Tom Brady misses the first 4 games and still finishes third in the league with 51 TDs. That's insane. Insane. The Pats defense allowed a league low 250 points all season. That's really been the backbone of this team that really isn't talked about enough. Talk about the head-to-head matchups between the Pats and the Falcons. The Patriots are 7-6 all-time against the Falcons since 2001. With Brady under center, New England has won their last 4 meetings against Atlanta by an average of 10 points. Matt Ryan, though, just to harp on Matt really briefly here. Again, if I had a vote, it would go to Matty Ice. He has been great all season. He's been clutch. Without Matt Ryan, the Falcons would not be in the Super Bowl. He threw for 392 yards, knocked on the door of 400 yards against the Green Bay Packers, had 4 touchdowns this past weekend. And not to mention who I believe to be the best receiving threat in the league in Julio Jones. Julio Jones had 9 catches for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. Let that sink in. Incredible. Incredible. The Falcons led 24-0 at the half. What a way to go out in the final game, I might add, at the Georgia Dome, which has been the home of the Falcons since 1992. The Georgia Dome will be torn down and replaced next season by a $1.5 billion Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Impressive stuff. Got a chance to actually see that stadium under construction when I visited Atlanta last year. That's going to be a state-of-the-art stadium, to say the least. But, again, Matt Ryan, 392 yards, 4 touchdowns. Julio Jones, 9 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's how you get the job done. And what even more so probably impressed me the most out of that game was how the Atlanta Falcons defense was able to stymie Aaron Rodgers throughout that game. Aaron Rodgers, one of the hottest quarterbacks in all of the league, meeting Matt Ryan for that matchup, and that Falcons defense was able to slow down a sizzling hot discount double check. That was impressive. The pressure they got on Aaron Rodgers, they forced him to throw interceptions. I mean, we saw the early fumble as Ripkowski just gave it up to the Atlanta Falcons defense. I mean, my goodness, that was impressive. That Atlanta Falcons defense was so impressive in that game. Now, briefly, I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Patriots. Le'Veon Bell getting injured in the first quarter severely hurt the black and gold in that game. Now, don't get me wrong. I think D'Angelo Williams is a fantastic running back, dynamic running back, who can get the job done on the ground. But Le'Veon Bell operates at a different level. D'Angelo Williams had just 34 yards on 14 carries. And after falling behind quickly in that game, the Steelers had to really move away from the running game. And that's what's allowed, I should say, Ben Roethlisberger
to get comfortable with that Steelers offense. When you have a running game that features a back like Le'Veon Bell, Ben doesn't have to do much. I shouldn't say that. Ben doesn't have to play hero ball, I should say, because Le'Veon Bell is so efficient on the ground. So it was all on the arm of Ben Roethlisberger. Again, D. Williams, 34 yards on 14 carries. That's when you just throw on the white flag and just say, you know what, Ben Roethlisberger, you got to help us out here. Well, Ben Roethlisberger didn't do too much to help the cause. He threw for, I will say this. Look at his numbers. They were impressive. He threw for 314 yards, one touchdown, without being sacked once. Did throw one INT, though, that hurt the squad. So if you look at those numbers, impressive, but the Steelers swimming upstream throughout much of that game, I mean, that was ugly. That was ugly. You're not going to win the game if you're playing from behind against the New England Patriots. Even though the pass didn't run the ball well, the offense couldn't be stopped. Yeah, it is true, though, that Tom Brady was sacked twice in that game, which is surprising, but he was on top of his game against that Steelers defense. Brady was able to finish the day with 384 yards again, passing, and three touchdowns while having two receivers with more than 115 yards. Julian Edelman, a masterful game, 118 yards on eight receptions and one touchdown for him. He wasn't the star, though. Chris Hogan. Isaac, where has this dude come from, man? Chris Hogan, as you heard in that montage, Chris Hogan just... And Alex is going to elaborate more on the background of Chris Hogan, but gosh, I didn't know who this dude was before the playoffs.
Yeah, I recognize the name. That's about it. I did not know what his strengths were, what his skills are. Apparently, he's just a juggernaut, and you could answer all of the above to both of those questions. So, gosh knows, but New England, you know, I made this comparison with a friend over the weekend. They're just the Spurs of the NFL. It's that simple. Everybody comes up through the system. It doesn't matter who plays. As long as Brady's in there, you plug and play. You go from there. LeGarrette Blount on any other team, totally average running back. Let's face it. These receivers.
I wouldn't say that. I think he's above average, really? But he's not among the top five or top seven in the game.
Same thing. That's a different discussion. But that defense even, it's just a system. You plug and play. They just reproduce instantly. If they have a gap, they just fill it. It's unbelievable. And all the credit, he's not my favorite coach in the world, but Bill Belichick is possibly the greatest NFL coach of all time.
Possibly. Especially if the Pats end up pulling out this Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons out in Houston. He's already in the conversation, but if he gets this ring, boy, you're going to be going, again, Lombardi's in that conversation. I mean, Lombardi, for me, is like the guy, right?
Same. Yeah.
But Bill Belichick, I mean, you look at what he's accomplished in the postseason, he's right in that conversation, and you possibly could maybe bump him up if he does get this ring in 2 weeks. What do you folks think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The Patriots and the Falcons will be playing for the Super Bowl championship out in Houston. Exciting stuff. But yeah, Chris Hogan, 180 yards, two touchdowns, nine receptions. We'll have more Super Bowl talk with Alex Sims of WLNS TV6. I briefly want to play this snippet, Isaac, because I also want to open the can of this conversation before we hit this first break. That being the Michigan State men's basketball team, which fell to Indiana over the weekend, a hostile environment for sure. Tom Izzo held his weekly press conference this afternoon at the Breslin Center. I just want to play a snippet of what Tom Izzo had to say when asked whether or not he's surprised in regards to the season struggles that he's seen this far into Big Ten play. And here's what Tom Izzo had to say.
You know, yeah, I mean, I guess everything. Because, you know, I don't think I've been through that. But then Miles has just come back, too, you know. So that's another whole change. So there's not just one thing. There's been so many different things that what I appreciate is, especially in those freshmen, most of them are working really hard. Some of them have to learn how to work harder, but all of them care. I got no issues. I had no off-the-court issues. I gingerly joked, and I don't even want to say it, but, you know, is it easier when there are some issues, you know? But I don't know. You know, what I expected was not a lot different than we got. I just expected a little more consistency by now, but we just got one of our best players back a couple weeks ago, and so everybody's learning how to play with everybody all over again. And 6 weeks is just long enough, 5.5 weeks to go one way or another. So, you know, it's new territory for them, a little bit new territory for me. And I always told you that experience is the best way to learn how to do things is when you have some experience. Well, I probably haven't done a great job with them because I haven't had experience in this area either. But not many people have. It's just one of those things this year. I mean, if Gavin and Ben are here, there's at least some experienced guys to lean on. You know, this was a unique situation, so we're getting through it. We're getting through it. We played, you know, I don't know how poorly we played. We had 13 turnovers or 12 turnovers in that game. We out-rebounded them, you know. They made some shots. We made some poor plays in that first half. They made some shots. Second half, we played pretty well in a lot of different areas. That's a pretty good team. You know, Indiana's a very good team. And this team right now, Purdue is playing better than Indiana was. But I think we're going to be a better team every day we come out, too. I really do. And we're going to have to get a lot better in these 2 days. Started out yesterday. We'll do it again today.
Michigan State, losers on the road against Indiana this past weekend. That was head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, addressing the struggles of his squad thus far. Michigan State will host 16-4 Purdue tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. We'll dive into the struggles of Michigan State basketball later on this hour. And I also want to remind you all that, hey, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to that Purdue and Michigan State men's basketball game during tomorrow's show. So you'll want to tune in for that. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite sports reporter and anchor for WLNS TV 6, Alex Sims. She'll join us here on the show to talk about the New England Patriots, MSU hoops, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Never have time to intercept you. Gronk is out and that's an issue. Be okay. Hey, the offense, it was nice this weekend. And I know we can win it all again. I know you miss four stars. Prove that you're gritty, not a broke down star. And full rings, no flaws. Still in hooking pretty model Giselle's bra. And I
Yeah, folks. Did you hear the lyrics to that, Isaac?
Yeah. What was your favorite, if you had to say one?
I don't know, man. It's creative. Very creative. You know, I was sitting back in my office prepping for today's show, and I got a text from Alex Sims, our guest for today's show from Channel 6 News in the area, and she's a diehard New England Patriots fan. She sent me the link to that song, and I just died laughing, dude. Hilarious. Yeah. I guess it's a rendition, you can say a kind of a love song for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots dedicating their season as they now embark on the Super Bowl down in Houston in less than 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, Patriots fans, they go all out for their team, I guess, right?
It's good, too, I've got to say, because when the Saints made the Super Bowl, my fun fact from that is, the day of, there were 6 songs about the Saints in the iTunes top 100. I think that's incredible. I think that speaks to the musicality of New Orleans. But
right.
This, I love the lyrics. I love the rendition of it. I'm not sure what the actual song is, but, you know, you hear it on the radio all the time. But the top, I know you missed 4 starts, or Tom, I know you. That was my favorite lyric that stood out to me, to make that fit into the lyrics, the melody of a song. That's impressive.
Very impressive. You know what also was impressive? I shot that link to you during the show, and I want to give a big shout out to Current Sports PA's Jonathan Chun as well as Austin Short for cutting that up for us. So appreciate it, guys. That was clutch. That's called clutch right there, all right? Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's take a quick call before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports. We've got our dear friend Mike from Saginaw on line one. What's up, Big Mike?
Hello there. How you doing, Elf?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
I was talking about the Atlanta Falcons, man. You know, Atlanta's is that the one team they're supporting? Atlanta is the Falcons. They're not going to support the Hawks and Atlanta Braves, man.
Well, why do you say that, Mike? They don't support the Atlanta Hawks down in the ATL?
No, they don't. I mean, because I never see their arena full for anything.
That's
except
true.
Probably Golden State. But they
right.
don't support the NBA. I mean, just, you know, yeah, they had a stretch when they was winning and everything, and they had good crowds. But other than that, they like the Pistons fans. When the Pistons going to start winning again, they're going to start filling the arena up. But the Pistons did win them a couple of championships. So
yeah, now that's the thing. I always say, Mike, if you build it, they will come. And the Atlanta Hawks just aren't a good NBA team. They haven't been for quite some time. I mean, gosh. I think back to the – when I think of Atlanta Hawks, I think of, like, the Dominique Wilkins days, Isaac. You
I
know?
Do, too.
Those
were
the glory
fairness
days.
To them, though, 2 seasons ago, they were the number one seed. It wasn't necessarily –
Were they?
Yeah.
How
it
do
wasn't
I not remember
necessarily
that?
A destination team. You didn't think that they would get to the championship, but in the regular season, Coach Bud Budenholzer, he just had the wheels cranking.
They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
That's when their entire starting lineup 1 week was named the NBA Player of the Week. Their entire starting lineup was for the first time in NBA history.
Did they finish the season as the number one team in the East?
I believe so. I'll look it up.
Please
for you.
Google
get
that.
It back. I don't think so.
I thought I would have remembered that. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, you got to win at the end of the day, Mike, if you want fans to come out and support you.
You know what? I was reading about the stadium they're going to build right next to the old stadium and everything. I just want to know, why don't other cities do that? Why could San Diego stay in San Diego and Oakland, Raiders stay in Oakland? You know, but I know those stadiums are very expensive to build, but they cost $1 billion now.
Well, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium that the Atlanta Falcons are building for their franchise is $1.5 billion. But it all comes down to moolah and revenue. Simple as that, mm-hmm. Mike. And if the owners and the upper echelons and the upper personnel feel as though if they move to a different location that they feel like they're gonna bring in more money as far as ticket sales or promotional revenue, that kind of thing, they're going to make that move. And they're going to push as much as – I mean, you saw – San Diego fans right now are sick right now. I saw them burning jerseys and protesting the move. I mean, but at the end of the day, it comes down to what the big wigs feel like is going to be the best move financially for that team.
Why you don't want to move from California anyway? California got the population to support it. Even the Oakland Raiders, they got the population to support the Oakland team. Yeah, I know, Oakland is not like San Francisco, but, you know, I believe they can support it. Let me talk about Michigan State right quick, the basketball.
Okay, go ahead, Mike, real quick. Yeah.
I want to talk about Cassius Winston. You know, I know he got burned by James Blackman, but that's just a part of the maturation process, too, because he's on a different level, so he has to be ready for the different – he's probably adjusting to the speed of the game and the skill of the players and everything. And like I say, Michigan State is like – they're young. They're like a bunch of freshman team. You know, they got the talent, but they just got to learn from their mistakes, man. So I'll let you go ahead and get to your break, and thanks for letting me talk to you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, who didn't? The question is, who didn't get burned by James Blackman this past weekend, right? I mean, I saw Lou Rawls, Tum Tum, Naren Jr. on him. They moved Aaron Harris on him. They moved the Army, Navy, and Marines on him. Nobody could stop James Blackman. 33 points leading Indiana to that 82-75 victory. And the point that Tom Izzo emphasized in his press conference today is, hey, we are a very young team. These are freshmen coming in. Just a year ago, these players were playing high school basketball, right? And now they're moved into roles, starting roles, in which they have to mature quickly. You are going to go through a process with this squad. So it amazes me just how short on expectation that MSU fans are. They feel as though they should be clicking right now. They're young, folks. They're young. You got four freshmen in the starting lineup. So, hey, it's going to take some time. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Her name is Alex Sims. She is a reporter and anchor at WLNS TV6 and now joins us live here in Studio S. Alex, how are you doing? Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
Always a pleasure having your smiling face on our airwaves. Thanks. Now, Alex, I first off want to start, before we dive into sports, I want to get your thoughts on the great Jane Aldridge retiring. Jane was there when I was an intern, dating back to my time at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I was an intern at Channel 6 for 2 years. Jane was one of the first faces I saw as a young pup, and she was so nice, so genuine, and she's had a remarkable career here in the area. You guys did, I have to tip my cap, because you guys did a remarkable job tributing her. I believe that was 2 weeks ago now, as she bid this area adieu.
Yeah, you know, our station did a very good job at, you know, honoring her, and she really is such an amazing role model to the journalism community, and if I could be even half the journalist she ever was, I would be a pretty happy girl.
You got a favorite story about Jane before we move on?
You know, I mean,
what will you remember, I should say?
She was just always so bubbly and so happy and so positive. And, you know, that's always such a good thing to have around, such positive energy. And, you know, she just gave me a lot of pointers on, you know, my journalism skills and things like that. And definitely stuff that I'll take with me forever. So.
She will be missed for sure. All right. Well, let's dive into the New England Patriots now. I know you've been itching to dive into this conversation,
yes.
Alex.
Let's go.
Yeah, you are from Boston.
I'm from Boston, born and raised.
Born and raised in Boston. I don't hear a Boston accent, though, but...
I try really, really hard to pronounce my R's.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have a job here.
Right. Well, that's a good thing. But you can fall right back into that.
My dad has a pretty strong Boston accent, but
can you give us a Boston accent real quick? I'm curious. Can you turn it on right now?
Park the car, have it, yeah. You know, the typical.
Bam.
Yeah. See,
look
like
at
it
that.
Just rolls off the tongue there.
I have to know, when did your fandom begin when it comes to this team?
You know, it started literally as soon as I was born. My parents dressed me up in Drew Bledsoe jerseys, because Bledsoe was the quarterback of that time when I was born. And, you know, ever since I could walk, I was at games. My parents brought me to games, you know, and growing up with all dudes, you know, I have two younger brothers. My dad, I was pretty outnumbered. There was really football Sundays were a big thing in the Sims household.
You know, I'm from Detroit, and it's not often that that we get to talk about being labeled a dynasty in any mm-hmm. professional sport other than the Detroit Red Wings back mm-hmm. in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Hockey town. But I have to ask you, when you look at what the Patriots have done in recent years, and again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show how this will be the Patriots' NFL best ninth Super Bowl appearance.
Yep.
That's seven under Bill Belichick alone.
And Tom Brady, yep.
When you look at the fans in that area in Boston, I mean, you guys pretty much expect to go to the Super Bowl every year, right?
And that's funny you say that, because everyone was actually talking about why the Pats weren't really jumping up and down after the game. It's just a known fact. Like, it's not over until it's over. Mm-hmm. You win the AFC Championship, you're not done yet. One more. That's where their mentality is at. They weren't celebrating, really. They were hugging, things like that. They weren't jumping around, because that was from day one of when the season started. Their goal is to finish the job. And so that was a really cool take on that.
Was this year's expectations for the fans in the fan, when you talk about the fan perspective, was it different in any way in knowing that Mr. Tom Brady was going to miss the first four games of the season?
I don't think so. I think everyone has faith in Bill Belichick and what he can do. I don't think because Tom Brady was out for four games, fans didn't think otherwise that they wouldn't be able to get to where they are. I think fans, the thing about New England fans, and this goes for every sport in New England, you know, they're not bandwagon fans. They're going to love, they're going to cheer, they're going to do everything and fall behind their teams, even when they're down. They're never going to stop, you know, having faith for them.
Full trust in Bill Belichick, I'm sure.
Full trust.
What makes him a dynamic coach?
Oh, man, just everything. Taking unknown players and making them into football superstars. I mean, and I'm not just talking about Tom Brady. I'm talking about, let's talk about the dude last night, Chris Hogan. Do you know where he came from?
No, that was actually on my question list for you. Who in the world is Chris Hogan?
All right. He was a Division I college lacrosse player that played at Penn State for 3 years. Okay, he had 1 year of eligibility left to play football. So he said, you know, he still had that itch. You know, he wanted to, you know, try it out. He was actually being recruited by Mammoth College in his high school days, and so they picked him right back up. He played 1 year at Mammoth College.
One year of football.
And then after that, he got cut by three NFL football teams. Bills couldn't do anything with him. Belichick picks this dude up, and he's this star in last night's game. And it's not just Hogan. Look at Gronk. No one knew who Gronk was. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty impressive stuff that he was a lacrosse player, a Division I lacrosse player that played at Penn State. It's Bill Belichick's magic. Like, I don't know what he does. Like, he just finds the good in these players and turns them into Bill Belichick way.
He is a master when it comes to player development. I didn't know about the lacrosse part.
How
I heard
cool
Jim
that?
Nance, Isaac, last night mention how Chris played for three different teams in the NFL and couldn't cut the mustard until he got to the Patriots and gets under the Belichick system and flourishes. But that's an incredible story.
And the lacrosse players catching, passes by Tom, two touchdown passes, you know.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
I want to bring this up because in many ways it's serving as motivation, I believe, for this team and even fans like yourself. Mm-hmm. The Deflategate situation.
Okay, yep.
When that whole situation went down with Tom Brady and he has the press conference about, you know, how he likes the balls and all that kind of stuff, right? And which is still a hilarious press conference to this day. Tom Brady he will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. I want to know how beloved he was and is in relation to how Deflategate went about. For the most part, did Patriots fans have times back or were there a few out there that said, you know what? He cheated.
No, I think fans, Boston fans, New England fans are always behind Tom Brady, always behind their teams. But I definitely do think that this year is Tom Brady's Deflategate revenge tour for sure. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Deflategate, of course, Roger Goodell was brought up someone was interviewing Tom Brady after the game, and they had to bring it up to him, saying, you know, how excited are you going to be, you know, if you get the trophy and Goodell gets to give it to you and stuff like that. And he said, this word for word, this is what he said, okay? He said, I have no animosity for Goodell. You know, I am doing this for my family. I'm doing this for my fans, and I'm doing this for my team.
But Alex, that of course he's going to say that though, right?
But that's
I know
just,
it's classy.
That's classy.
In the back of his mind, I'm sure he's like, yeah. It's going to feel real good when this man gives me that trophy if we pull out the Super Bowl. Come on now.
I mean, I think in the back of his mind, he's probably like, yeah, I want this. there's so many football players that at that moment, you know, would have popped off. And, you know, that just goes to show how classy of a guy he is and
he's
how classy of an establishment, how classy of a franchise the Patriots organization is and how Bill Belichick, you know, brings up his players and how to talk to media.
Love it. Let's hit our second break. We're going to have Alex stick around for the closing minutes of the show. We're going to get her thoughts on Michigan State women's and men's basketball. Alex was in the house with myself last night covering the Michigan State women's basketball loss to Purdue. We'll have Weekend Winners, also on tap for all of you out there. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Less than 10 minutes left here in the show. I'm your host, Al Martin. Call in if you want to get a quick call in. It's got to be real quick. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We have Alex Sims, WLNS-TV6 anchor and reporter, live here in Studio S with us. We just finished up chatting about the New England Patriots going to the Super Bowl. Alex from Boston is a big Pats fan. Alex, real briefly here. Prediction on the Super Bowl. I know you're probably going with the New England Patriots. What's the score going to be?
I don't know. I know it's going to be a high-scoring game. Both teams are offensive powerhouses. You know, the Falcons are the top in the NFL. So, And I know that it's going to come down to the defense. So, I don't know. It's going to be a close game for sure.
Give me a score.
Oh.
I'm putting you on the spot.
You got to do this to me?
You just tried to give me the whole runaround and not give me a score. You got to give me a score.
I'm going to say... I don't know. 36-31.
High scoring.
It's going to be
Patriots
definitely
by
high
five.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. We'll preview it more, of course. We got 2 weeks to do it. So you were in the house at the Breslin Center to witness the Michigan State women's basketball team fall to Purdue. First three-game losing streak since 2014-15. What is going wrong with this team right now?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a young team. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that they're also, they need to find a leader. I think that's the big thing too.
Well, so I think Tori is that leader.
Well, besides Tori though, like you can't just depend on Tori as a whole. I mean, she can't carry the team. Like they need to find, I mean, Brandy steps up every once in a while. I think they need to find some consistency. They can't just rely on Tori. And I think that's part of the problem. I think that they're constantly just like, you know, putting it on her shoulders and letting her do it. Like there needs to be other players that step up to the plate, I think.
I always say, I mentioned this to Tori last night during the media roundtable, there has to be another scorer around her than just her. I totally agree with that. For the men's basketball team, how surprising is this slump for them as they fall to Indiana on the road this past weekend?
I'm not too surprised. I mean, I think Tommy Izzo always finds a way to get together in March. That's when it really counts. But I think, again, too, it's a young team. And I think that, you know, the majority of them are freshmen, you know, if you think about it. But I think the major thing here is that there isn't a leader at all.
Right.
I mean, last year there was Denzel Valentine. You know, they're down by 20. You give it to him, put the ball in his hands, and he's going to, you know, produce. Here, you know, it's very inconsistent. And I get, you know, Miles Bridges is a star player. He is. He is one of the best freshmen I've ever seen in the game. But you can't rely on, he's young still. He can't produce 30 points every single game, especially just come back after injury.
Because teams honing on him. He's seen a lot more double teams now. I hear you.
And you know what, Al? To be honest, I saw better production out of the MSU men's basketball team while Miles was out than when he was in. And I'm saying this because I think they learned how to play without him, and I think they need to continue to or just learn to do that again, even though he's back in the game.
I think that's a very good point. Ben Grimes says, quote, I have a feeling that the men's and women's MSU men's basketball teams, MSU basketball teams, I should say, may not make the NCAA tourney if they don't get it together. It will be a huge disappointment if this happens. It's been a very rough year for the Mid-Michigan sports teams. You can say that again, Ben, but I do think both teams make the tourney. I'm not jumping off the bridge here just yet, Isaac.
Yeah, I think both will too, but I think it's close. I think maybe 10, 11 seeds for both of them.
Purdue and Michigan this week for the Michigan State men's basketball team. I think they split there. I think they beat Michigan, lose to Purdue. Caleb Swanigan is going to be a handful down low tomorrow night. Alex Sims of Channel 6 News here in Lansing. Alex, great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
quick call. We've got Ray on line one. Ray, we literally have about 30 to 40 seconds. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Ray?
12 days, we'll know about Kurt Warner. Anybody wants to call down to the Hall of Fame and tell them guys to get it right, 1-330-456-8207. 1-330-456-8207. Put your operator and ask for Joe Horrigan, Secretary Chris, and say, tell them writers to get it right this time. Put the man in where he belongs so we can see the Kurt Warner movies.
Ray, the NFL Hall of Fame needs to hire you, my friend. Thoughts on Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm hoping Atlanta can do it, but I'll tell you, I'm not very confident that Atlanta's going to be able to stop Brady.
Yeah, Brady's good, isn't he?
It's going to be quite a shootout, it looks like to me.
Okay. All right. Well, Ray,
Let's hope, go Falcons.
Ray, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Real quick, can we turn on Alex's mic? You heard Ray is a notorious. He does not like Tom Brady.
Ray, you better call back and change that.
Look at Alex calling him out.
That's messed up, bro.
Now, Ray, he's one of our beloved callers, I guess. But Ray always is taking jabs. I mean, I love it. All right. Again, if we can't call in now, I mean, you got 2 minutes left here in the show. If you still want to weigh in on anything that you heard here on today's Current Sports, 517-355-WKAR is the number to call tomorrow. Weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Weekend winner's a brief one, Isaac. We've got about a minute left here in the show. Who had the best weekend in sports in your eyes?
You know, I've got to go with the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm not sure how MVP voting goes in the NFL. Because I know in the NBA, it's you judge it on the regular season, that's it. I'm not sure if the NFL takes into account postseason play at all. But the thing is, Matt Ryan solidified himself, in my mind, as MVP. The Atlanta Falcons, I'm sorry, Alex, I'm not making my prediction yet. I've got research to do, I do. But they look like a team of destiny, I've got to say.
The Falcons?
Yes, they do.
I'm not going against the Pats.
I'm not saying my pick yet.
All right. I got weekend winners for me. I am going with the Falcons as well. Big win for them. I think Matt Ryan is the MVP. I have one loser, though. Did you watch the L.A. Lakers this past weekend?
73 points.
The Dallas Mavericks hand the L.A. Lakers the worst loss in team history. Well, that ends the show on a high note. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. As always, same time, same place, 1 p.m. on WKAR AM 870. Take care and be easy, people.